from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings alongside Jason Dumas. Happy 4th of July to everyone. We're taking up until 4 o'clock here live and local all day on 95.7. The game will be as well tomorrow. Joe Spadoni, Sam Lubman from 8 until noon. And then we got you locked in until 4 o'clock. All right here again on 95.7. The game. Big thank you to Carter Chickering behind the glass as well, producing this bad boy. And Jay, you know, kind of the moves that have been made this offseason so far for the Golden State Warriors. And they've moved off of Chris Paul, moved off of Klay Thompson, used that $73 million combined to, number one, get below the first apron. Secondly, to turn them into Kyle Anderson. Buddy Hield is the latest move that became official earlier today via Sam Charania of The Athletic. And then, of course, Kyle Anderson and D'Anthony Melton. I mean, I know that those three names are certainly not as big in the basketball world as Chris Paul and Klay Thompson. But if I told you that the Warriors turned two players that are going into their age 39 and 35 season into three players, two of which are in their mid to late 20s, and a player that's in their early 30s, all of which are productive, all of which, by the way, played for teams that made the playoffs last year, I feel like people wouldn't be as enraged as if you put it as, well, Klay and Chris Paul turned into Melton, Anderson, and Hield.
No, for sure. I mean, all of them had their slight issues last year, but that is why they got these guys at a discount, though. You got to remember that. These are all kind of the guys they got with that, like, mid-level exception that opened up when Chris Paul left. Buddy Hield, $77 million per year. 2 years ago, that would have been closer to like $14 million per year.
He was making $20 million, I think, last year, right?
Yeah. So even more. D'Anthony Melton, same thing. He had back issues this past season. $12 million they got him for, right?
12.9, yeah.
12.9.
The full mid-level.
Yeah, that's probably closer to 16, 17 as well. And then Kyle Anderson, what was he signed for?
3 for $21 million.
3 for $21 million, so just like Buddy.
Yeah.
So just like Buddy. Yeah, Kyle Anderson didn't shoot it great last year. Exactly. 2 years ago, Kyle Anderson was great.
Yeah.
2 years ago, all three of them were great.
Pretty hit and miss, all three of those guys.
But I have no reason to believe that Melton won't get back to it and Hield won't get back to it. Hield, it was just a little bit of bad luck. The Sixers acquired him to be a floor spacer around Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid obviously clogs the paint. A lot of people, he gets constantly double teamed. So when you have shooters on the perimeter, it helps everyone. And that was what they saw. They acquire Buddy Hield. As soon as they acquire him, Joel Embiid gets hurt.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey gets hurt. So all of a sudden, it's just like Buddy Hield. And that's just not his role. And then by the time Embiid comes back, like 6 games before the playoffs started. They're trying to get this consistency and cohesion. They had never played with each other, really, and it just didn't really work. And he eventually just stopped getting playing time because of it. De'Anthony Melton, anytime he played for Philly last year, he was really good. I watch a lot of Sixers basketball. I won't say I watch every game, but I have NBA League Pass. I watch pretty much every game I can. You ask my producers, they always just hear the play-by-play. former 95.7 The Game, they hear Kate Scott blaring from my computer at Kron because I usually just have it in the background. Even if I'm working, it might be minimized, but I can still hear it. Melton was really good before he got hurt.
I think, honestly, the only reason that they could get him is because he played 38 games.
Yeah,
if he played a full season, he probably would have gotten a multi-year offer from somebody.
That's exactly what Rich Hoffman said yesterday from PHLY Sports. He also used to work for The Athletic. He's been covering the Sixers for a long time. He said the only reason he got paid what he got paid is because he got hurt.
Yeah.
He's like, he's a good player. And I remember, you remember when the Warriors played the Grizzlies, that playoff series,
during the championship season.
Yeah, very competitive series. But I remember after that season was over and they let Melton go, I was like, you let the wrong guy go. Why do you have Dylan Brooks still? I thought Melton was better than Dylan Brooks. I genuinely did. I was like, he's better than Dylan Brooks. They picked the wrong guy. Of course, they ended up scapegoating Brooks.
And I think they admitted that after moving on from Brooks the year after.
100%. Melton was making plays that series against the Warriors. And they would take him out, and I'm like, this coach is an idiot.
Yeah.
What's his name, Taylor something?
Oh, shoot.
Taylor Jenkins.
Thank you, Carter.
Yeah, Taylor. And I don't want to call the man an idiot. That's not fair, but...
Well, we've all been idiots at times.
Yeah, that's a dumb decision, Taylor.
Yeah.
I'll say it that way. That's a dumb decision. Although Taylor rubbed me the wrong way. Remember when he acted like Draymond or it was Poole.
He
acted like Poole, like tore John Morant's ACL because he like grabbed his knee a little bit and tried to like equate it to Dylan Brooks literally almost like killing Gary Payton II on that fast break.
Yep.
That was Bush League. It's like, dude, those are not comparable. Stop it. You know they're not comparable. You're being disingenuous right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that whole series was annoying. Everybody over there, Grind City, just annoying.
It's amazing where those two franchises have gone, including the Warriors, because the Memphis Grizzlies have attached themselves to a player that's kind of become a problem in Ja Morant. And to bring him back to Melton, I think a big reason they were able to not just sustain his injuries a couple of years ago, but also thrive and win was because you had a couple players like Tyus Jones and De'Anthony Melton that could step in and start and help you still be a 50-win team. So I think he's a winning basketball player. I think the Warriors have not made the splash move that everybody wants, of course, to replace a splash brother, but they've made some under-the-radar, intelligent moves. And I think it's something that right now, Jay, I can envision them staying at a similar level to last year. Assuming, of course, Draymond doesn't get suspended, which is a big assumption, could make an ass out of you and me. But I also think that they're not done yet. I don't think a big fish is in the pond for them to go get, but I don't think they're done making moves yet. And they got, I don't know, a couple of days, essentially, until the moratorium finishes. I would assume they would like to get things done before USA Olympic basketball kicks off. So Steve Kerr is probably going to be busy. Obviously, Curry is going to be busy. I'm assuming they would like to get things done soon, but I don't think that they're finished yet. 888-957-9570.
Yeah, no, they can't be finished. I mean, if they're finished, that would be disappointing. Now, like I said, top of the 12 o'clock hour, that I believe they've had a pretty good offseason, all things considered right now, playing within the margins. Mike Dunleavy did not have a lot to work with. He was put in a weird situation, not weird, just unideal is the word, where his boss is telling him, hey, we are penny pinching right now. We're in penny pinching mode. For the last 2 years, I've paid more than anybody in basketball history for two mediocre teams. I will not do that again. I refuse to do it. Can't blame the man.
Yeah, good point.
Can't blame the man, to be honest. But in terms of what that means to this conversation, it's harder to do your job when your boss is like, dude, you got to be hella efficient. In a league where everybody is overpaying to get people, you have to pay people what they're worth. It's not easy.
Like a Fortune 500. Hey guys, we're gonna size things back. We're gonna cut down costs. Oh, by the way, we still need the same output this year.
Exactly. So I just say that to say, from Mike Dunleavy's vantage point, that's not the easiest. He also had to sift through and navigate through the emotions of a dynasty kind of coming to an end. Like, they probably knew they wanted to move off Clay. Like you said about 20 minutes ago, they probably wanted to move off Clay, and for a number of reasons. It wasn't just because Clay's numbers had declined. Clay, it's just hard. It was a hard situation. And they probably realized we're probably better off without this situation next year. If we have to have it, it is going to be on our terms. It is not going to be for an overpay. So Dunleavy has to deal with that too. That is a super complex issue. So people have to give Mike some rope. Now, that's not to say he's blame proof and you can't hold him accountable. Trust me, I don't know what Mike Dunleavy's salary is, but that man is making a lot of money. So yes, he will have to answer to his decisions if they ultimately prove to be bad ones, just like he will get praise if they're good ones. I'm just trying to acknowledge the reality that he did not inherit a very ideal situation.
No, he took over a Ferrari with 200,000 miles.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, he took over a great car, but you're not really able to drive it too much further. You got to figure out when to hit the gas, when to rev up, when can you really flex going from 0 to 60 in 8.3. You know, like that kind of thing. He's got to gauge.
Why you have a rabid fan base with just the highest expectations in the world?
Exactly, exactly. This is from Anthony Slater of The Athletic. Just a couple more details. Again, they complete a sign and trade today with Buddy Hield, 3 years, $21 million. That last year is not fully guaranteed. A big part of it, Jay, was the fact that Hield is in Valencia, Spain with the Bahamian team, who is coached by Warriors assistant Chris DeMarco. So there was that connection as well. Also, another detail from this piece is that he had a conversation with Steve Kerr last night, getting on the same page. And also, this might help ingratiate himself with Warriors fans. Apparently, he chose the Warriors over a couple teams, including the Los Angeles Lakers. So I think they might like to hear that. Because, again, to your point about Clay, if Clay had gone to the Lakers, I think people would be pretty pissed. And in fact, the idea that he chose Dallas over the Lakers, I think, also makes people feel better about his exit.
It was surprising that he chose Dallas over the Lakers, because apparently the Lakers, 4 years, $80 million, and Dallas is 2 years, what?
I know that there is a big difference in terms of state taxes, but I can't imagine that he was making significantly less. Or, I mean, more. Like, I mean, there is a marginal difference, but he would have gotten more in L.A.
Right.
As well as another year.
Another year of guaranteed money. You're extremely familiar with Southern California. You went to high school in Orange County. Your dad works for the organization, although with someone like Clay, I'm not sure if that's a benefit. He kind of seems like he wants to be away from that type of stuff. Like, oh, the family affair.
Why do you leave for college? You know, I didn't want to stay in the Bay Area.
Well, shoot.
I wanted to get away from home.
Well, I don't think Clay was highly recruited, honestly.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't. So I don't think Clay had a choice. I actually was watching the podcast. He was on, this wasn't recent, but he was on that All the Smoke podcast with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. And he was saying how I wanted to be in the Pac-12. That was the conference I grew up watching, obviously, UCLA, USC, et cetera. But Washington State was the only team. Tony Bennett, who's now the coach of University of Virginia. Warriors just signed a two-way player off of him.
Reese Meekman, yeah.
Yeah. That's really all he had. But back to the main point, I was just shocked that LA seems ideal for him. And I don't, the players don't care about the rivalry as much as the fan base. So I don't think he would be like, oh, I can't play for the Lakers and LeBron. Players don't care about that stuff. I mean, like, every now and then, yeah, I guess, like, you'll hear them like, yeah, we don't like them over there. But when it comes down to it, if a team is offering you money, look what Ray Allen did. He said, oh, See you, Boston. I'm going to go right over here to Miami.
And I mean, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett still hate him for that.
Look at what Kevin Durant did. Look what Kevin Durant did. The Warriors.
8 years ago today.
The Warriors.
One of my favorite days.
The Warriors. Now, OKC Golden State is not some traditional historic rivalry, but within the context of that, it was those two teams.
Yeah.
Like, and he walked right over to Golden State. So my point is, players don't care about that as much as fans, the rivalries and all that stuff.
And I don't think they would care as much if the Warriors were able to remain as competitive as they are. How do you see Mike Dunleavy Jr. at 888-957-9570? I'm with Jason. I think he was handed a really tough hand, perhaps an unwinnable hand, you know, 7-2 offsuit if you're at a blackjack table. It's hard to make, you know, water into wine at this point. But how is he doing in your eyes? What else can he do at this point? 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings, Jason Dumas with you until 4 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Let's get out to Millbrae and talk to Mark. Mark, happy Independence Day. What's going on?
Oh. Are you there?
Yeah, what's up, Mark? How you doing, man?
Yeah, what's up? Yeah, I got to applaud Dunleavy. I love the job he's doing. He's got a hamstrung salary cap, little flexibility, and I think this Warrior team is already better than last year. To me, I think Hield is the perfect fit next to Curry. Obviously, at times, he can jack up shots, but at this point, I think Hield can be a more efficient version of Curry, Clay, and he's younger. So I love this move. You don't have to be tied up with a huge contract for him long-term. I love the pickup of Melton. Barring his back injuries, I think he's an excellent player. And I love the pickup of Anderson. Gives you elite defense. And one of the big-time reasons why Minnesota made it to the Western Conference Finals. So as we saw this year, guys from Dallas, everybody gets wrapped up in the big names. But how did Dallas get red hot and start rolling when they picked up guys like Gafford and P.J. Washington? So I think you need depth and rotation. I don't think working with stars like, to me, getting Paul George, I don't think he's going to work out that well for Philly because, as you see, you got two injury-prone guys who are older, and we know that he doesn't perform well in the playoffs, and you got little flexibility when you're paying three guys like Embiid, Maxey, and now Paul George that amount of money. So give me the depth with really good players who can come in and play right away. And so I commend him. And as far as Clay goes, I think Clay let his ego and his agents talk him out of it. I think that two-year $48 million contract was more than fair because, guys, let's face it, I love Clay. He's probably a $15 million a year player, and he, in the open market, didn't even get as much as a lot of the so-called expert thing. So I think he would have been a perfect sixth man here, but nonetheless, I just salute him for not going to the Lakers because everybody assumed there, because his father works for the team. He grew up there. He lives in Manhattan Beach in the offseason. So everybody, I think this guy's something to it that a lot of guys don't like playing with LeBron, because if you're not in that clutch world of his, and it's all about his legacy. If they don't win, you're going to take the blame for it. So Clay doesn't want any part of that. I think he's going to play well in Dallas. So overall, guys, the Warriors offseason so far has been good. I think they're going to make one more move. If they get marketing, to me, they're a top 5 seed in the West. I'll get your thoughts on that. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Great call. I mean, a lot of good points he made.
Yeah, no, and you brought this up earlier, the fact that Dallas made a run to the finals from the 5 seed.
Yeah.
You know? So it is possible. This from the 203, kind of interesting. Interesting, they got a volume 3-point shooter from the Bahamas to replace Clay.
I saw that.
That's clever.
Well, they were just together. It was Eric Gordon, Clay, Buddy, DeAndre Ayton. And then what's his name? What's his name is coaching them? Chris DeMarco.
Chris DeMarco, yeah.
So I haven't been able to get an answer. I've reached out to a couple of people within the organization to see if Mikey Thompson is still going to be on the coaching staff next year. Haven't been able to get an answer. That's a Steve Kerr question, I was told. And I would guess that they don't know.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty straightforward answer, yes or no. So I've been on standby trying to get the answer. So I would assume.
It kind of aligns with the theme of the offseason, which is, well, maybe.
Right. Well, no, I don't think.
Potentially.
I don't think it's their decision. I think they would welcome Mikey back with open arms. He didn't do anything to get himself canned or let go. It's just, does Mikey want to move on since his brother has moved on? That's probably the bigger question. I don't think it would be because the Warriors don't want him back.
No, and not to rehash it, you know, the 2 for 48 to me is a number that's going to live in infamy because he could have taken it. I don't know about you, Jay. I think the Warriors offered it knowing that Clay was never going to say yes to that. And the other piece that was, I think, a little damning from Sam Amick, there was a couple pieces that came out yesterday. The Sam Amick one had an interesting nugget, I thought, which was that Klay Thompson's team had made offers to the Warriors, but the Warriors never made any counter offers to Klay's team. So that indicated to me that he wasn't, number one, the priority. I think they would have eventually come around if Klay was willing to play hardball, but I think they also knew that he wasn't. Like, he just told them straight up that I'm not going to do business the way that you did with Iguodala, with even Curry, and with Draymond. So, you know, it's a marriage that I think was destined to come to an end. A matter of when was probably just the question. And look, I don't think it really needs to be rehashed, but the revisionist history about the 2 for 48 is something that I am kind of over at this point.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I understand why Clay, like, I understand the thought process of why Clay wanted to leave. I genuinely do. I'm not sure I would have been in that position because I think I would have been looking at things from a little bit of a different lens. Like, I don't know. It's hard to get into people's head, and it's also hard and probably not a winning formula to tell people how they should feel.
Yeah.
Like, it's personal feelings for a reason, you know? I don't know all the nuances of everything. I just know that I think if, and I used this example the other day, so if we have some new ears, like, I use the example as, for instance, with the Paul George thing, and Clay was upset that the Warriors did not make him a priority, and the Warriors were trying to kick the tires on Paul George first.
Yeah.
Before, like, I compared that to, like, if Kron was like, if I had my contract, I think I have 2 more years left on my Kron contract, my current one.
Oh, so you're also aligned with Curry and Kerr.
100%. When they leave, I'm out of here. but like, if my contract's coming to an end, and then all of a sudden, say, like, Stephen A. Smith is like, you know what? I want to do local. I you know, I'm tired of the grind at ESPN. I'd like to retire to San Francisco. I'll do Kron. And Stephen A. was like, and Kron was like, we have a chance to get Stephen A. Smith in here.
Yeah.
What, am I going to be offended? You would, Stephen A., all I've done for you, Kron? No. It's Stephen A. Smith. Like, you just got.
But if you had been at Kron for 25 years. And you were an OG in the business.
So at that point, it would be...
It's hard to imagine, but...
It would be 8 years. No, I know what you mean. But...
They talk about, Jay, you're the mayor. Like, you are the reason why Kron became the number one TV station in the market. Like, you helped lead us back to the mountaintop, a place that was unimaginable beforehand. And then they go, oh, yeah, but you've done a great job, and here's a paycheck on the way out.
Right. No, I mean... Like I said, me, I wouldn't have taken it personally. I would be offended, but like Clay did, it would, like, fuel me to go somewhere else and do even better. And that's exactly what Clay is doing. You know, it is what it is. Like I said, like, yeah. And you said it too, it's kind of tiresome, like, trying to get in the head of why, whose fault, what he should have done, what they should have done, why he should feel this way, why he shouldn't feel that way. I think the best way to sum it all up is I truly do believe this. Both sides are better off, even though that might sound a little cutthroat. Both sides are better off. Knowing everything that I know, knowing some of the context, knowing how people feel, just better off, probably. And another thing that Steve Kerr probably deep down would agree with, but would never say that publicly.
No doubt. How are you feeling right now about the offseason? Because I don't really want to look backwards too much more. I think everything right now is in the present. It's in front of the Golden State Warriors. How can they get this thing to where it needs to go? What kind of job has Mike Dunleavy Jr. done so far? And what can he do? Does he need to get the big fish? Is there a move around the edges? Is there something else that they can do to trim this thing to get back to the postseason? What is the goal right now? 888-957-9570. A lot of different avenues to go down. We will up until 4 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Evan Gettings alongside Jason Dumas. And also a reminder that the California Classic is coming to Chase Center In 48 hours, starting on July 6th, a summer basketball showcase featuring 2024 NBA draft picks, second-year pros, and more players. So go to Warriors.com for your tickets, all brought to you by Clean California. Remember, just one piece of litter can ruin the game. Zero litter is the goal. I see you, Mark. I see you, Eric. I see you, everyone that's on hold right now. 888-957-9570. We'll get your calls on the other side as we roll on here on 95.7 The Game.
Back to 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings alongside Jason Dumas. Happy 4th of July to everyone. We're taking up until 4 o'clock here live and local all day on 95.7. The Game will be as well tomorrow. Joe Spadoni, Sam Lubman from 8 until noon. And then we got you locked in until 4 o'clock. All right here again on 95.7. The Game. Big thank you to Carter Chickering behind the glass as well, producing this bad boy. And Jay, you know, kind of the moves that have been made this offseason so far for the Golden State Warriors. And they've moved off of Chris Paul, moved off of Klay Thompson, used that $73 million combined to, number one, get below the first apron. Secondly, to turn them into Kyle Anderson. Buddy Hield is the latest move that became official earlier today via Sam Charania of The Athletic. And then, of course, Kyle Anderson and D'Anthony Melton. I mean, I know that those three names are certainly not as big in the basketball world as Chris Paul and Klay Thompson. But if I told you that the Warriors turned two players that are going into their age 39 and 35 season into three players, two of which are in their mid to late 20s, and a player that's in their early 30s, all of which are productive, all of which, by the way, played for teams that made the playoffs last year, I feel like people wouldn't be as enraged as if you put it as, well, Klay and Chris Paul turned into Melton, Anderson, and Hield.
No, for sure. I mean, all of them had their slight issues last year, but that is why they got these guys at a discount, though. You got to remember that. These are all kind of the guys they got with that, like, mid-level exception that opened up when Chris Paul left. Buddy Hield, $77 million per year. 2 years ago, that would have been closer to, like, $14 million per year.
He was making $20 million, I think, last year, right?
Yeah. So even more. D'Anthony Melton, same thing. He had back issues this past season. $12 million they got him for, right?
12.9, yeah.
12.9.
The full mid-level.
Yeah, that's probably closer to 16, 17 as well. And then Kyle Anderson, what was he signed for?
3 for $21 million.
3 for $21 million, so just like Buddy.
Yeah.
So just like Buddy. Yeah, Kyle Anderson didn't shoot it great last year. Exactly. 2 years ago, Kyle Anderson was great.
Yeah.
2 years ago, all three of them were great.
Pretty hit and miss, yeah. All three of those guys.
But I have no reason to believe that Melton won't get back to it and Hield won't get back to it. Hield, it was just a little bit of bad luck. The Sixers acquired him to be a floor spacer around Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid obviously clogs the paint. A lot of people, he gets constantly double teamed. So when you have shooters on the perimeter, it helps everyone. And that was what they saw. They acquire Buddy Hield. As soon as they acquire him, Joel Embiid gets hurt.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey gets hurt. So all of a sudden, it's just like Buddy Hield. And that's just not his role. And then by the time Embiid comes back, like 6 games before the playoffs started, they're trying to get this consistency and cohesion. They have never played with each other, really. And it just didn't really work. And he eventually just stopped getting playing time because of it. D'Anthony Melton, anytime he played for Philly last year, he was really good. I watch a lot of Sixers basketball. I won't say I watch every game, but I have NBA League Pass. I watch pretty much every game I can. You ask my producers, they always just hear the play-by-play. former 95.7 The Game, they hear Kate Scott blaring from my computer at Kron because I usually just have it in the background. Even if I'm working, it might be minimized, but I can still hear it. Melton was really good before he got hurt.
I think, honestly, the only reason that they could get him is because he played 38 games.
Yeah,
if he played a full season,
he probably
would have gotten a multi-year offer from somebody.
That's exactly what Rich Hoffman said yesterday from PHLY Sports. He also used to work for The Athletic. He's been covering the Sixers for a long time. He said the only reason he got paid what he got paid is because he got hurt.
Yeah.
He's like, he's a good player. And I remember, you remember when the Warriors played the Grizzlies, that playoff series.
During the championship season.
Yeah, yeah. Very competitive series. But I remember after that season was over and they let Melton go, I was like, you let the wrong guy go. Why do you have Dylan Brooks still? I thought Melton was better than Dylan Brooks. I genuinely did. I was like, he's better than Dylan Brooks. They picked the wrong guy. Of course, they ended up scapegoating Brooks. And
I think they admitted that after moving on from Brooks the year after.
100%. Melton was making plays that series against the Warriors. And they would take him out. And I'm like, this coach is an idiot.
Yeah.
What's his name? Taylor something?
Oh, shoot.
Taylor Jenkins.
Taylor Jenkins. Thank you,
yeah,
Carter.
Yeah, Taylor. And I don't want to call the man an idiot. That's not fair, but...
Well, we've all been idiots at times.
Yeah, that's a dumb decision, Taylor.
Yeah.
I'll say it that way. That's a dumb decision. Although Taylor rubbed me the wrong way. Remember when he acted like... Draymond or no, it was Poole.
That's right, Poole.
He acted like Poole, like tore Ja Morant's ACL because he like grabbed his knee a little bit and tried to like equate it to Dylan Brooks literally almost like killing Gary Payton II on that fast break.
Yep.
That was Bush League. It's like, dude, those are not comparable. Stop it. You know they're not comparable. You're being disingenuous right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that whole series was annoying. Everybody over there, Grind City, just annoying.
It's amazing where those two franchises have gone, including the Warriors, because the Memphis Grizzlies have attached themselves to a player that's kind of become a problem in Ja Morant. And to bring him back to Melton, I think a big reason they were able to not just sustain his injuries a couple of years ago, but also thrive and win was because you had a couple players like Tyus Jones and DeAnthony Melton that could step in and start and help you still be a 50-win team. So I think he's a winning basketball player. I think the Warriors have not made the splash move that everybody wants, of course, to replace a splash brother, but they've made some under-the-radar, intelligent moves. And I think it's something that right now, Jay, I can envision them staying at a similar level to last year. Assuming, of course, Draymond doesn't get suspended, which is a big assumption, could make an ass out of you and me. But I also think that they're not done yet. I don't think a big fish is in the pond for them to go get, but I don't think they're done making moves yet. And they got, I don't know, you know, a couple of days essentially until the moratorium finishes. I would assume they would like to get things done before USA Olympic basketball kicks off. So Steve Kerr is probably going to be busy. Obviously, Curry is going to be busy. I'm assuming they would like to get things done soon, but I don't think that they're finished yet. 888-957-9570.
Yeah, no, I don't. They can't be finished. I mean, if they're finished, that would be disappointing. Now, like I said, top of the 12 o'clock hour, that I believe they've had a pretty good offseason, all things considered right now, playing within the margins. Mike Dunleavy did not have a lot to work with. He was put in a weird situation. Not weird, just unideal is the word, where his boss is telling him, hey, we are penny pinching right now. We're in penny pinching mode. For the last 2 years, I've paid more than anybody in basketball history for two mediocre teams. I will not do that again. I refuse to do it. Can't blame the man.
Yeah, good point.
Can't blame the man, to be honest. But in terms of what that means to this conversation, it's harder to do your job when your boss is like, dude, you got to be hella efficient. In a league where everybody is overpaying to get people, you have to pay people what they're worth. It's not
like
easy.
A Fortune 500. Hey guys, we're gonna size things back. We're gonna cut down costs. Oh, by the way, we still need the same output this year.
Exactly. So I just say that to say, from Mike Dunleavy's vantage point, that's not the easiest. He also had to sift through and navigate through the emotions of a dynasty kind of coming to an end. Like, they probably knew they wanted to move off Clay. Like you said about 20 minutes ago, they probably wanted to move off Clay. And for a number of reasons. It wasn't just because Clay's numbers had declined. Clay, it's just hard. It was a hard situation. And they probably realized we're probably better off without this situation next year. If we have to have it, it is going to be on our terms. It is not going to be for an overpay. So Dunleavy has to deal with that too. That is a super complex issue. So people have to give Mike some rope. Now, that's not to say he's blame-proof and you can't hold him accountable. Trust me, I don't know what Mike Dunleavy's salary is, but that man is making a lot of money. So, yes, he will have to answer to his decisions if they ultimately prove to be bad ones, just like he will get praise if they're good ones. I'm just trying to acknowledge the reality that he did not inherit a very ideal situation.
No, he took over a Ferrari with 200,000 miles.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, he took over a great car, but you're not really able to drive it too much further. You got to figure out when to hit the gas, when to rev up, when can you really flex going from 0 to 60 in 8.3. You know, like that kind of thing. He's got to gauge.
Why you have a rabid fan base with just the highest expectations in the world?
Exactly, exactly. This is from Anthony Slater of The Athletic. Just a couple more details. Again, they complete a sign and trade today with Buddy Hield, 3 years, $21 million. That last year is not fully guaranteed. A big part of it, Jay, was the fact that Hield is in Valencia, Spain with the Bahamian team, who is coached by Warriors assistant Chris DeMarco. So there was that connection as well. Also, another detail from this piece is that he had a conversation with Steve Kerr last night, getting on the same page. And also, this might help ingratiate himself with Warriors fans. Apparently, he chose the Warriors over a couple teams, including the Los Angeles Lakers. So I think they might like to hear that. Because, again, to your point about Clay, if Clay had gone to the Lakers, I think people would be pretty pissed. And in fact, the idea that he chose Dallas over the Lakers, I think, also makes people feel better about his exit.
It was surprising that he chose Dallas over the Lakers, because apparently the Lakers, 4 years, 80 mil, and Dallas is 2 years, what?
I know that there is a big difference in terms of state taxes, but I can't imagine that he was making significantly less. Or, I mean, more. Like, I mean, there is a marginal difference, but he would have gotten more in L.A.
Right.
As well as another year.
Another year of guaranteed money. You're extremely familiar with Southern California. You went to high school in Orange County. Your dad works for an organization, although with someone like Clay, I'm not sure if that's a benefit. He kind of seems like he wants to be away from that type of stuff. Like, oh, the family affair.
Why do you leave for college? You know, I didn't want to stay in the Bay Area.
Well, shoot.
I wanted to get away from home.
Well, I don't think Clay was highly recruited, honestly.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't. So I don't think Clay had a choice. I actually was watching the podcast. He was on, this wasn't recent, but he was on that All the Smoke podcast, yeah, with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. And he was saying how I wanted to be in the Pac-12. That was the conference I grew up watching, obviously, UCLA, USC, et cetera. But Washington State was the only team. Tony Bennett, who's now the coach of University of Virginia, Warriors just signed a two-way player off of him.
Reese Meekman, yeah.
Yeah. That's really all he had. But back to the main point, I was just shocked that LA seems ideal for him. And I don't, the players don't care about the rivalry as much as the fan base. So I don't think he would be like, oh, I can't play for the Lakers and LeBron. Players don't care about that stuff. I mean, like, every now and then, yeah, I guess, like, you'll hear them like, yeah, we don't like them over there. But when it comes down to it, if a team is offering you money, look what Ray Allen did. He said, oh, see you, Boston. I'm going to go right over here to Miami.
I mean, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett still hate him for that.
Look at what Kevin Durant did. Look what Kevin Durant did. The Warriors.
8 years ago today.
The Warriors.
One of my favorite days.
The Warriors. Now, OKC Golden State is not some traditional historic rivalry, but within the context of that, it was those two teams.
Yeah.
Like, and he walked right over to Golden State. So my point is, players don't care about that as much as fans, the rivalries and all that stuff.
And I don't think they would care as much if the Warriors were able to remain as competitive as they are. How do you see Mike Dunleavy Jr. 888-957-9570? I'm with Jason. I think he was handed a really tough hand, perhaps an unwinnable hand, you know, 7-2 offsuit if you're at a blackjack table. It's hard to make, you know, water into wine at this point. But how is he doing in your eyes? What else can he do at this point? 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings, Jason Dumas with you until 4 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Let's get out to Millbrae and talk to Mark. Mark, happy Independence Day. What's going on?
Oh. Are you there?
Yeah. What's up, Mark? How you doing, what's up, man? Mark?
Yeah. What's up, man? I got to applaud Dunleavy. I love the job he's doing. He's got a hamstrung salary cap, little flexibility, and I think this Warrior team is already better than last year. To me, I think Hield is the perfect fit next to Curry. I obviously, at times, he can jack up shots, but at this point, I think Hield can give you, can be a more efficient version of Curry and, Clay, and he's younger. So I love this move. You don't have to be tied up with a huge contract for him long-term. I love the pickup of Melton. Barring his back injuries, I think he's an excellent player. And I love the pickup of Anderson. Gives you elite defense, and one of the big-time reasons why Minnesota made it to the Western Conference Finals. So as we saw this year, guys from Dallas, everybody gets wrapped up in the big names. But what? How did Dallas get red hot and start rolling when they picked up guys like Gafford and P.J. Washington? So I think it's, you need depth and rotation. I don't think working with stars, like, to me, getting Paul George, I don't think is going to work out that well for Philly, because as you see, you got two injury-prone guys who are older, and we know that he doesn't perform well in the playoffs, and you got little flexibility when you're paying three guys like Embiid, Maxey, and now Paul George that amount of money. So give me the depth with really good players who can come in and play right away. And so I commend him. And as far as Clay goes, I think Clay let his ego and his agents talk him out of it. I think that two-year, $48 million contract was more than fair, because, guys, let's face it, I love Clay. He's probably a $15 million a year player, and he, in the open market, didn't even get as much as a lot of the so-called expert thing. So I think he would have been a perfect sixth man here, but nonetheless, I just salute him for not going to the Lakers, because everybody assumed there, because his father works for the team. He grew up there. He lives in Manhattan Beach in the offseason. So everybody, I think this guy's something to it that a lot of guys don't like playing with LeBron, because if you're not in that clutch world of his, and it's all about his legacy. If they don't win, you're going to take the blame for it. So Clay doesn't want any part of that. I think he's going to play well in Dallas. So overall, guys, the Warriors' offseason so far has been good. I think they're going to make one more move. If they get marketed, to me, they're a top five seed in the West. I'll get your thoughts on that. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Great call.
I mean,
a lot of good points he made.
Yeah, no, and you brought this up earlier, the fact that Dallas made a run to the finals from the five seed.
Yeah.
You know? So it is possible. This from the 203, kind of interesting. Interesting, they got a volume 3-point shooter from the Bahamas to replace Clay.
I saw
also
that.
Bahamian.
I saw that. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Kinda, that's clever.
Well, they were just together. There was Eric Gordon, Clay, Buddy, DeAndre Ayton. And then what's his name is coaching them, Chris DeMarco.
Yeah,
so I haven't been able to get an answer. I've reached out to a couple of people within the organization to see if Mikey Thompson is still going to be on the coaching staff next year. Haven't been able to get an answer. That's a Steve Kerr question, I was told, and I would guess that they don't know. Because it's a pretty straightforward answer, yes or no. So I've been on standby trying to get the answer. So I would assume.
It kind of aligns with the theme of the offseason, which is, well, maybe.
Right. Well, no, I don't think.
Potentially.
I don't think it's their decision. I think they would welcome Mikey back with open arms. He didn't do anything to get himself canned or let go. It's just, does Mikey want to move on since his brother has moved on? That's probably the bigger question. I don't think it would be because the Warriors don't want him back.
No, and not to rehash it, you know, the 2 for 48 to me is a number that's going to live in infamy, because he could have taken it. I don't know about you, Jay. I think the Warriors offered it knowing that Clay was never going to say yes to that. And the other piece that was, I think, a little damning from Sam Amick, there was a couple pieces that came out yesterday. The Sam Amick one had an interesting nugget, I thought, which was that Klay Thompson's team had made offers to the Warriors, but the Warriors never made any counter offers to Klay's team. So that indicated to me that he wasn't, number one, the priority. I think they would have eventually come around if Klay was willing to play hardball, but I think they also knew that he wasn't. Like, he just told them straight up that, I'm not going to do business the way that you did with Iguodala, with even Curry, and with Draymond. So, you know, it's a marriage that I think was destined to come to an end. A matter of when was probably just the question. And look, I don't think it really needs to be rehashed, but the revisionist history about the 2 for 48 is something that I am kind of over at this point.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I understand why Clay, like, I understand the thought process of why Clay wanted to leave. I genuinely do. I'm not sure I would have been in that position, because I think I would have been looking at things from a little bit of a different lens. Like, I don't know. It's hard to get into people's head, and it's also hard and probably not a winning formula to tell people how they should feel.
Yeah.
Like, it's personal feelings for a reason.
You know, I don't know all the nuances of everything.
I just know that I think if, and I used this example the other day, so if we have some new ears, like I used the example as, for instance, with the Paul George thing, and Clay was upset that the Warriors did not make him a priority and the Warriors were trying to kick the tires on Paul George first before. Like, I compared that to, like, if Kron was like, if I had my contract, I think I have two more years left on my current contract, my current one.
Oh, so you're also aligned with Curry and Kerr.
100%. When they leave, I'm out of here. but like, if my contract's coming to an end and then all of a sudden say, like, Stephen A. Smith is like, you know what? I want to do local. I you know, I'm tired of the grind at ESPN. I'd like to retire to San Francisco. I'll do Kron. And Stephen A. was like, and Kron was like, we have a chance to get Stephen A. Smith in here.
Yeah.
What, am I going to be offended? You would, Stephen A., all I've done for you, Kron? No. It's Stephen A. Smith. Like, you just got.
But you, if you had been at Kron for 25 years and you were an OG in the business.
So at that point, it would be.
I know it's hard to imagine,
it,
but.
It would be 8 years. No, I know what you mean. But.
They talk about Jay. You're the May. Like, you are the reason why Kron became the number one TV station in the market. Like, you helped lead us back to the mountaintop, a place that was unimaginable beforehand. And then they go, oh yeah, but you've done a great job, and here's a paycheck on the way out.
Right, right. No, I mean, like I said, me, I wouldn't have taken it personally. I would be offended, but. Like Clay did, it would, like, fuel me to go somewhere else and do even better. And that's exactly what Clay is doing. You know, it is what it is. Like I said, and you said it too, it's kind of tiresome, like, trying to get into head of why, whose fault, what he should have done, what they should have done, why he should feel this way, why he shouldn't feel that way. I think the best way to sum it all up is I truly do believe this. Both sides are better off, even though that might sound a little cutthroat. Both sides are better off. Knowing everything that I know, knowing some of the context, knowing how people feel, just better off, probably. And another thing that Steve Kerr probably deep down would agree with, but would never say that publicly.
No doubt. How are you feeling right now about the offseason? Because I don't really want to look backwards too much more. I think everything right now is in the present. It's in front of the Golden State Warriors. How can they get this thing to where it needs to go? What kind of job has Mike Dunleavy Jr. done so far? And what can he do? Does he need to get the big fish? Is there a move around the edges? Is there something else that they can do to trim this thing to get back to the postseason? What is the goal right now? 888-957-9570. A lot of different avenues to go down. We will up until 4 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Evan Gettings alongside Jason Dumas. And also a reminder that the California Classic is coming to Chase Center in 48 hours, starting on July 6th, a summer basketball showcase featuring 2024 NBA draft picks, second-year pros, and more players. So go to warriors.com for your tickets, all brought to you by Clean California. Remember, just one piece of litter can ruin the game. Zero litter is the goal. I see you, Mark. I see you, Eric. I see you, everyone that's on hold right now. 888-957-9570. We'll get your calls on the other side as we roll on here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.